Good evening, Grace Church. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. We would love to get to know you better. If you've got any questions or concerns, please, you can find me, anybody up front. We'd love to talk with you. Now, you may or may not know that the Redeeming Grace Church's vision statement is, well, it's the following. Let me read it for you. To be a community that exalts, displays, and declares the gospel of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. So if you're wondering, why does this church exist? Well, there it is. And you know, God has positioned this church, and many of you know this, God has positioned this church in an incredibly diverse county, with over 50% of our population belonging to ethnic groups outside of the United States, which is really something, which also means, by the way, we have an incredible opportunity week in and week out to exalt, to display, to declare the gospel of Jesus to many peoples and many nations. Today we get to do just that. We get to sing about Jesus. We get to think about Jesus. We get to listen to things about Jesus. We get to pray to Jesus in ways that demonstrate that He is the most important being in the universe. That's what we get to do today. And we get to do that not just for ourselves. We get to do that for many peoples and many nations. So with that in mind this morning, the Lord is going to call us to worship from Psalm 96. Let me invite you to stand, please, now. And please read the bold and the underlined portions with me. I'm going to read the other parts. Here we go. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the earth. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let's sing together, brothers and sisters.
Good morning, church. We're so glad you're here to sing with us. Let's sing about this King of Glory. What do you think about hope in? King of glory.
of just one name. Over all, Jesus reigns, I know. God who saves, one who's strong and mighty, freedom is in his name. So open the gates of heaven, lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory. Thank you.
nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall. There is still one King reigning over all. So I will not fear, for this truth remains, that my God is the Ancient of Days. None above Him, but before Him, all of time in His hands. For His throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in His hand. For my God is the Ancient of Days. Oh, the dread of night overwhelms my soul. He is here with me. I am not alone. Oh, His love is sure, and He knows. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in His name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. What the future brings, I will watch and wait for the Savior King. Then my joy complete, standing face to face.
Captive by my fear, till your mercy showed, your hand was reaching near. My God, you came and made a way for me. You made a way for me.
verse again. I was lost in sin.
I was lost in sin, held captive by my fear, till your mercy showed.
Recognition of this being Memorial Day weekend, we have asked Jarrett Leslie to come and pray for us.
Good morning. My name is Jarrett Leslie, and I currently serve in the United States Army. It is an honor to lead a prayer on the Memorial Day weekend as we remember families and loved ones of the military and those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our nation. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, on this Memorial Day weekend, we pause to remember and give thanks. We honor the men and women who gave their lives in service to our country. They paid the ultimate price, their last full measure of devotion, so that we might enjoy the freedoms and security we often take for granted. We thank you for their courage, their sacrifice, and the families they left behind. May we never forget what they have given. Lord, we also lift up those who are still serving in our armed forces, both at home and around the world. Watch over the sons and daughters, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers who are deployed. Protect them from harm, strengthen them in their duties, and bring them home safely to their loved ones. Comfort the families who wait and worry. Give them patience, peace, and hope during long separations. We ask for your wisdom for our national leaders as they make difficult decisions about war and peace. Help us to value peace, to pursue justice, and to live as good citizens while we wait for the day when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Father, we pray that the gospel would continue to go forth through our military. May those who serve be lights in dark places, and may many come to know your saving grace because of their witness. Heal the hearts of those who carry wounds from past conflicts. Comfort the grieving. Strengthen the weary. Remind every veteran and every military family that they are not forgotten. We thank you for the freedom we enjoy today because of their service, and above all, we thank you for the eternal freedom we have through Jesus Christ. May our gratitude lead us to live more faithfully for your kingdom. In the strong and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. It is a glorious gift that we get to gather in this country, that we have the right to freely gather to praise and to worship our King and to invite others to join in, a blessing and a gift that not other countries enjoy. So we thank God for that. Praise be to his name. If you are new among us, we want to welcome you. We are so glad that you decided to join us on this Sunday morning. We are a multi-generational, multi-ethnic church united by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who called us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. As a community, we exist to exalt, to display, and to declare this good news for God's glory alone. If you have questions about this or want to learn more about who we are as a church family, I want to invite you to stop by the Welcome Center in the lobby, where there will be friendly faces there looking to connect with you and to connect you to our church body. Church, the church has blessed us for the last 27 years with the life and ministry of Mark and his lovely bride, Leslie Muller. Yay! Mark has served us faithfully as our teaching pastor for almost 3 decades, and Leslie has ministered to him and to us in various capacities during that time. Next Saturday, May 30th, mark your calendars. We want to gather together to celebrate God's amazing grace in them and through them. As they have exalted Christ in their personal lives, as they have displayed his tender love and his mercy through your marriage, and as they have declared his work in both word and in deed. The celebration service will begin promptly at 7 p.m. as we hear stories of God's hand at work, we sing praises to him, and we enjoy sweet fellowship and desserts. Maybe some Ghirardelli chocolate, we'll see. Please RSVP by this Wednesday, May 27th, so we can plan ahead and be well prepared. And through your faithful giving, church, if you didn't know, Mark and Leslie have had the opportunity to serve our ministry partners in Southeast Asia and in Japan multiple times during their decades of service in this church. And we thank you guys for your faithful service to those families and to us as you went out by using our treasures for God's glory. Let's continue then to give generously so that many more can join us in the worship of our true King, Jesus Christ. And now we have the blessing of time. How much would we want time? all week, I'm looking for more time to get to spend with my family, with my kids, to do things at home. Well, now, church, we have the blessing of 5 minutes to slow down, to look next to you, and to greet someone that you maybe haven't seen. It's 5 minutes that are gifted to you to greet someone in the peace that is yours in Christ Jesus. So let's take this time now. And kids, enjoy your classes.
All right, good morning, welcome. Come on in. If you're watching online, greetings. If we haven't met yet or you're new, my name's Mark, and you're here just in time for me to retire. But there's good news, because this church is going to be in, first of all, the great hands of the Lord, but great hands in future leaders, and Godwin, particularly our next teaching pastor. So excited for the future, but I am so privileged these three Sundays, last week, today, and next Sunday, to share a three-week parting words sermon. These are parting words after being able to preach to you for 27 years, and Leslie and I look forward to retiring and just becoming joyful, happy members of our church. Glad we get to stay here with you. Last Sunday, there was a word about the word from Psalm 19. Today, it's a word about grace and mission from Psalm 67. And next week, it'll be a word about the race set before us from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I love Psalm 67. As a young Christian, someone asked me, "Do you know why God blesses us?" And she pointed me to Psalm 67 for the answer. As Mimi comes and reads Psalm 67, I want to ask you if you can find the reason for the blessings God gives to us here in Psalm 67. So Mimi, please come read.
To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, that your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
Wow. Let's pray. O great God, I know that this sermon will soon be forgotten. I know that's how it works. But your word endures forever. And I pray that Psalm 67 would be bookmarked in the hearts and minds of this congregation for decades to come. I pray that the grace and mission that are joyfully brought before us here would inform and inspire this church for years to come, for the glory of your name and the gladness of the nations, I pray. Amen. Well, I asked you if you could see the reason for all blessing here in Psalm 67. Did you catch it? Verse 1 sets up the blessing, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. And then the key word in this psalm is that next little word, that, may God bless us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. God blessed Israel to make them a blessing to the nations. God blesses us to make us a blessing to the nations. This is God's ancient pattern, and this is the main point for today's message. Very simply this, blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. This is the pattern for the Christian life. This is the power for mission to the nations. This is how the nations are becoming glad in Christ. This is how we've become glad in Christ. So before we drop into the text, I want to just take you on a quick three-stop world tour to encourage you about how this is taking place around the world right now today. First stop, Tokyo. I want you to picture this massive, gleaming city with about the same population as the nation of Canada. Picture countless people riding the metro and the trains and shopping and working, and then imagine that most of these people will live and die without ever encountering one single authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. But today, on the Lord's Day, there are small gatherings of Christians. And in one of those gatherings, the church is singing God's praises, and Pastor Seda, our dear friend, is preaching the good news of Jesus. And that day, this day, today, they are celebrating the baptism of a teenage boy. Seda heard and responded to the gospel here, coming as an international student to George Mason University. And now the light of Christ is shining in that spiritually dark city in Tokyo. Oh, let Tokyo praise you, oh God. Now we're going to go all the way to Malawi, Africa, a very different scene. A small village in a remote area. The people are farmers. They are a Muslim tribal people. There have never been any Christians in that area. But recently, through a seemingly chance encounter with a Christian, a man in the village named Zembe invited other Christians to come and share God's word with his family and his friends. As the news of Jesus was shared for the first time ever in that village, they said, please come back and tell us more. And they did again and again. And today, 25 people in that village have committed themselves to follow Jesus. Oh, let the villagers in Malawi be glad, oh God. Now, one more stop. Right close by, right over here, Mike and Joy Yang's house. They've gathered for an international lunch after one of these Sunday services. One of the men attending is from China. His name is Yao, maybe here today. Living in China, he was pursuing wealth and success, but no religion. Religion was a farce in his mind. At a low point in his life, he had a dream which aroused an interest in Christianity. And then he was shocked when his wife found in their home a Bible neither of them had any idea they had. He began to read that Bible. He reached out to some old friends who turned out to be Christians, and they connected him with the church where he learned about Jesus and began to follow him and was baptized. And I know this story because he's so excited. He wants to tell everybody about it, and he recently told me. Let the people of China be glad and sing for joy in Christ. We've been blessed to be a blessing. This morning in this sermon, we're going to focus on verses 1 and 2, and then we're just going to sideswipe verses 3 to 7 to just let them lift and inspire and encourage us to response. Verse 1, get your eyes back on verse 1, please. Remember, this is a psalm and a song. This was intended to be sung and prayed by the nation. This was intended to shape the people. How might this shape us? Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us. Does that sound at all familiar? Remember last week we were talking about meditating on scripture? It appears that the psalmist, the guy who wrote this psalm, had been meditating on two passages of scripture, and they're mashed up and made alive in this psalm. And the first one that comes into view sounds like what we say at the end of our services a lot of times, doesn't it? Numbers 24:6-27. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious to you and bless you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's the blessing the high priest Aaron spoke over God's people. Blessing, grace, his face shining upon them. So the psalmist picks up those three phrases from Numbers 6, and he then expresses that hope to Israel that God would bless them in that way. that God would make his face shine upon them, that God would show them his grace. And I hope that he will do that for us here today and each day as well. What does it look like for God to be gracious? What is grace? Lovely word. Hear it. Warm feelings. What does it mean? Grace is an expression of kindness and mercy. Grace is showing favor to the undeserving. The deserving don't need grace. They earn what they get. But sinners and losers and failures, we need grace. Do you need grace? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Undeserving. When Adam and Eve rejected God's kingly rule over their lives by eating that forbidden fruit, what did they deserve? Immediate judgment and death. And so do all their offspring, sinners like them, you and me. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Did you see that phrase? That your way may be known on earth? We've turned to our own way. The story of the Bible could have been a very short story. It should have been a story that ended after chapter 3. It should have been the end of our race. It should have been the end of the story of human beings. God should have judged and destroyed his fallen image bearers, but God is a God of grace. God reached out to a pagan family and called a guy named Abram to follow him. That was grace. God delivered a bunch of slaves from Egypt and brought them into the promised land. That was grace. God picked a virgin named Mary to give birth to a son conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that was grace. God sent his Spirit to give us new hearts that desire to follow and love and serve and obey and proclaim him, and that was grace. God made the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Get that connection? In the face of Christ, shine in your hearts, and that was grace. Our past and present experience of grace leave us confident of future grace. The best is yet to come from a gracious God. So, church, we have delighted in God's grace. We have sung of God's grace. We have celebrated God's grace. Let us never grow tired of grace. Let us never assume grace. Let us never move on from grace. Let us strive to ever be amazed by grace. God has blessed us. God is blessing us. God will bless us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. How does God bless us? The good news of the gospel. Grace, amazing grace. Now, here's the second question. Verse 2, why? Why does God bless us? Given you the answer to that already, but we're going to unpack it here. Look at verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. If verse 1 is the receiving of grace, the question is, okay, what do you do with it? Why? Why have you got that? And God intends grace to be like a trampoline and not a vault. What do I mean by that? The blessings of grace aren't intended to be hoarded and locked up and kept. Oh, let's build bigger barns. Let's keep it all for ourselves. No, they're intended to bounce back to the nations that his way may be known on earth. You see, sin, it curves us in on ourselves. It's all we can see. That's all we're concerned about. We keep everything for ourselves. But grace turns us outward. And that's the pivot from verse 1 to verse 2. May God bless us that Your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. See, here's the second scripture he was meditating on. It wasn't just number 6, but it was also Genesis 12. Can you hear the echoes of that? Look, follow with me as I read Genesis 12, 1 to 3. See if you can see how this surfaces in Psalm 67. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a nation, and I will," ready? "Bless you and make your name great so that you will be a," see the pattern? Right there in Genesis 12. "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." How far is the blessing going to go? All the way around the world, all the way to the end of time. That's how grace works. Grace leads to mission. The ancient pattern, blessed to be a blessing. And that blessing is intended to go to all the families of the earth. Why? Because our God is a missionary God. The nations are on God's heart. God is determined to gather a people from every family, from every language, from every tribe, from every tongue, because his son is worthy of glory from that many people. Israel was chosen by God not to be a fortress walled off from the rest of the world, but to be a witness. The design for Israel was a come and see design. Here's his promised land. I'm going to put you here. Jerusalem, Mount Zion, city of our God, and the nations are intended to be able to come and see and taste the grace of God. But instead of sharing that blessing, they became hoarders. You ever been in the house of a hoarder? Ever seen what that's like? Stuff only moves one direction. It only comes in. It never goes back out. Sadly, that's what happened to Israel. Grace came in. It didn't go back out like it was supposed to. There's supposed to be a city set on a hill to make the nations glad. But the missionary God, he won't stop until the nations are glad in him. So he sent forth his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus doesn't just show us God's way. He is God's way. The good news about Jesus is God's saving power for all who believe, that your way may be known on earth. That's the way of Jesus Christ. Your saving power may be known among the nations. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God blesses the church with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can, instead of being hoarders, we can be trampolines and proclaim his saving power among the nations. And the model changes in the new covenant as the Holy Spirit is poured out. And no longer is it primarily a come and see model, though we encourage people to come to gatherings like this and see and experience the grace of God. And glad, I hope there are a bunch of people who are here learning about Jesus, don't know much about Jesus. Come and see. That's still true. But for the church, it's a go and tell. We don't just stay here. No, the nations are waiting. And God is sending. Go and tell. Go be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We get to share this blessed gospel with the people in our neighborhood, the people we work with, the people at the campus, the people at school. And sometimes we get to go and do that. I wonder how this might change our prayer life if we really got a hold of blessed to be a blessing. I wonder, just maybe think about, what have you prayed for in this last week? I don't know about you, but my experiences and things that I ask for prayer for and often prayer requests that I hear, it's important things, jobs, finals, health, wisdom. I wonder what would happen to our hearts and minds if at the end of those requests, we added that little that. Would you pray for me that God will help me find a good job? That I might be a blessing in that new place. That I might be able to share this good news I've heard about Jesus, that somehow others might become glad in Christ, that somehow people, maybe even people from a bunch of nations that are going to be there at that new place where I'm working, might be able to hear about Jesus for the first time. Sometimes we can feel so small and insignificant. Remember the spies when they went into the promised land? 10 of them came back and said, "Oh man, the people there are giants and we feel like grasshoppers." You ever feel like a grasshopper? You know, in Christ, there are no grasshoppers. There are only weak people who, filled with the Spirit, see the power of God flow through their weakness so that His strength is perfected in them. That's who you are in Christ. You are God's strategy for being a blessing to the nations. Why does God bless us? We're blessed to be a blessing that the nations might know God's saving power in Christ. And so what happens next? I'm not even going to try to unpack everything in verses 3-7. But I just want to let this meditation from number 6 in Genesis 12, these wonderful first two verses, just joyfully accelerate our vision and our excitement and our enthusiasm for what God is doing and that we get to be part of it. Look at verse 3. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Look at verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. You can't just say it once. Got to say it twice. O God, let the peoples of Russia and Ukraine praise you. Let Sunnis and Shiites praise you. Let Israelis and Palestinians praise you. Let North Koreans and South Koreans praise you. Let the people of George Mason University and Fairfax County Public Schools praise you. Let the Wishmeyers and the Mills and the Craycrafts and the Sutherlands and all the peoples of Redeeming Grace Church praise you. Get swept up in that. Look at verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Oh God, let Afghanistan and East Turkestan be glad and sing for joy. Let El Salvador and Egypt and China and Taiwan and Vietnam and Venezuela be glad and sing for joy, for you are a great king. You're not like the kings of the nations. No, you're a true and just king, and you are guiding the affairs of the nations so that they might become glad in you. Have you seen how God guides you? Have you seen how God guides people to go be His witnesses in the nations? Our friend Liz Weaver, now Docs, lives in Hungary with her husband Alex, serving in a church there, evangelistic ministry that they're involved in with students. She recently went to a local university in Budapest, and there she got to share the gospel with a student who was interested in Jesus because he saw something about the gospel on TikTok. God sent a TikTok to that guy, and then He sent Liz. And now he's going to a church. You don't have to go all the way to Hungary. We live in a place where the nations have come to us. Just look around. There are people here from Asia and Europe, South America, North America. People say, "Oh, Fairfax County, it's so busy, it's so expensive." Oh, yeah, it is. But you know what? The nations are here, and I love being here. I love living in this place. I love the opportunity that we have to be able to proclaim the blessing of the good news of Christ at that university right up the street. 40,000 students at George Mason University, at all their campuses, and a bunch of them right there. I love the opportunity that we have to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to immigrants who are coming here. I love what's going on 3 times a week in the basement of this building through For the Nations, where immigrants are learning how to speak English and also learning about the Bible. The end of those study times, there's a Bible study for anybody who wants to stay. 8 or so people are coming, believers and unbelievers. They're going through the book of Colossians. Danny Wegbauer is leading the Bible study. Recently, was told that one of the non-Christians explained that they were learning that because Jesus died and rose, they can have eternal life and not fear death. Now, they haven't crossed over from death to life yet, but they know what's waiting on the other side because they're hearing the good news, the saving power of Jesus. It's happening right here in this building. People from Mongolia and China and Korea. And we get to be part of that. We've been blessed to be a blessing. So let me leave you with a charge this morning. If this psalm becomes part of our liturgy, how might we be shaped by it? If we could drink this psalm in, chew on it, sing it, say it, memorize it, what might it do for us? Let me leave you with two things. Be amazed by grace. This psalm will leave us amazed by grace. Here's my charge, church. Be amazed by grace. Be amazed by grace. When I was a kid, my dad had this game that he would play with us. It's called Hang Us on the Wall. And we would say, Dad, hang us on the wall. And so, oh, great, okay, I'll do it. And so he'd pick us up and he'd stick us on the wall. And then he'd let go and he'd turn around and he'd just kind of be standing there. And of course, you know what happens when you hang a kid on the wall, right? Kids don't stick on the wall. Gravity works. And so he does it with me and then my sister. And we're all over there giggling and he's just standing there like this. And we're giggling and he turns around. You didn't stay on the wall. What happened? Oh, do it again. I promise I'll stay on the wall this time. I promise I'll stay on the wall. Okay, I'm going to hang you on the wall. Okay. Hangs us on the wall again. Mark, Susie, Jen. Turn around. What happens? What happens to kids when you hang them on the wall? Tell me. You fall down, right? I know, because I tried it with my kids too, and they loved it just as much as we did. What happens to grace on the wall of our hearts? Get stuck up there, and you turn around. Man, it doesn't take long before it just slides off, doesn't it? We lose sight of all that God has done. We forget about his saving power. We forget about Jesus being the way. We get overwhelmed by desires from within, desires from the world, the lies of the enemy. We need strategies to be amazed by grace. We got to keep sticking it on the wall and finding ways to get some Velcro to go with it. It's no wonder that when you read the New Testament, the writers keep talking to the Christians about grace. You ever notice that? Why do they start the letters to the Christians saying, grace to you? Why does Paul write to Timothy, a veteran Christian, and say, be strengthened by the grace that's in Christ Jesus? Why does Peter close a letter to a whole bunch of Christians all over the place and say, grow in grace, grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ? I know why. Because grace doesn't stay on the wall for very long. And we got to keep reminding each other and encouraging each other and finding strategies to be amazed by grace. So my urging, my appeal is, be amazed by grace. And don't be satisfied if you're not until you get your soul back in that place. Second, don't forget the nations. Don't forget the nations. Be a blessing. Blessed by grace to be a blessing to the nations. I say that because we do live in a busy place. There's so much going on. We all live busy lives. And there's an enemy that wants us to forget. And there's remaining sin inside that wants to put our attention on other things. And the world is never going to remind us that the nations are waiting to become glad in Christ. How can we share God's missional heart. Let me just leave you with four simple words, PGSG. Four simple words, pray, give, send, go. Start with pray. And I mean this, start with pray. Psalm 67 is a prayer. I want to encourage you to pray this psalm. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Eat it. When I look back over the years, and I have so much, I long to grow in having a missional heart. I long to grow in having a passion for the nations. But when I look back at the progress that's been made, so much of it starts right here in prayer. When I was in college, going to InterVarsity, and I started getting excited about the nations, I had a friend named Lisa. And I don't know how we got started doing this, but we just had this idea, let's pray for a nation every week together. And there was a nation in Africa, it was called Rhodesia at the time, it was becoming Zimbabwe. And for whatever reason, we just zeroed on that, and we met every week, I think for a year at least, and we just prayed together for that nation. And those prayers are still sitting in those bowls in heaven. God doesn't forget anything that we pray, but something was happening in my heart too. There are about 3.5 billion people in the world. That's such a big number, it's hard to get our minds around. But there are about 3.5 billion people in the world that are what people call unreached. That means they live in places where they don't have access to Christianity, to churches, to disciples. Most of Japan is unreached in that way. Large swaths of the Middle East are that way. One practice I found helpful, we did this, I think, a few years ago together as a church, just pray for those, every day pray for one of those people. You can go to the website for Joshua Project. There'll be a link at the end of the follow-up email that comes out, or just Google Joshua Project. You can sign up for an email once a day or a couple times a week or whatever works for you. But I just want to encourage you to begin to pray for those people that have no active witness. They're going to live and die without ever hearing about Jesus unless someone goes and someone is sent. Let's pray for that. We have wonderful international ministry partners. I encourage you to be praying for them. Go to our website and find out who they are. Maybe you know people that are serving the Lord in cross-cultural ministry, pray for them. I've just found it a helpful practice. I have a little chart. I pray every day. I have some family members that I pray for. I have some of you that I pray for. And I have a column. It's intentional. It's a Great Commission column. And every day I'm praying for somebody who's out there somewhere, cross-cultural ministry. Just want to encourage you, pray. Pray for the nations to become glad in Christ. Pray that God's saving power would be known among all nations. Second, I want to encourage you to give, and you're a generous church. Missions are expensive. It's costly. Church planting, international ministry partners. And I want to say this. I'm not saying this is a prophetic word, but I do have a sense. So I stand before you here this May 24th, 2026. I have a sense, pretty strong sense, that expansion is coming for this church in a variety of directions. But in particular, I believe church planting and international ministry partners, I believe there's going to be an expansion in the not too distant future. I want to encourage you to be praying about that. I also want to encourage you to be praying, saying, Lord, these financial resources that you've given to me, how do you want me to steward them? It costs money to do these things. I want to encourage you to pray, could you be giving more to this church for the purpose of the nations being glad? I also want to encourage you in terms of giving, to give encouragement. Got some great folks here that are involved in cross-cultural work. Anne Buwalda, her work supporting persecuted Christians. Danny and Ellen for the nations. Phil and Tracy Ennis reaching out to an unreached people group, many of whom have immigrated here. If you know those folks in our church or others, I want to encourage you, just find a way to encourage them, strengthen them, pray for them. Third is send. Sending people to plant churches and missionaries is costly. 12 years ago, when we sent Seda and Emma to Tokyo, we didn't just lose Seda and Emma, but we supported them financially, which meant that we couldn't afford to be paying a worship leader for a while. Actually, it turned out to be a long time. There was a cost to that. Was it worth it? Was it worth it for people in Tokyo who've never heard about Jesus Christ to hear, well, we have an all-volunteer army doing a heroic job leading worship here on Sunday mornings? Those are the kinds of trade-offs that we need to consider and be led by the Spirit to be willing to make if the nations are going to be glad in Christ. Are we ready to be a trampoline and not a vault? Because sending people to plant churches, sending people farther away, it's costly. People from your community group, people that you sit near, we plant churches here or there close by, it's going to cost something. Isn't it worth it for people to become glad in Christ? Finally, go. Go. Most of us aren't going to be long-term missionaries, of course. But maybe there's a short-term opportunity. So many of you have experienced at the ranch, Rancho 3M. Maybe you're in business and you could consider moving and doing your job somewhere else in a place where there are few Christians, but you could combine with and be embedded in a healthy local church and serve the Lord there for a period of time. Maybe some of you will go for long-term. I just love Isaiah's prayer. I want to encourage you to pray it from Isaiah 6. Lord, here I am. Send me. I don't belong to myself. I've been bought with a price and paid for. I'm movable property. I love that our friends Lou and Lisa Gallo, who are in Busan, South Korea, Lou is a longtime pastor here. They had no expectation or intention of ever becoming missionaries. But somewhere along in their mid to late 50s, there was this growing involvement with people who had escaped North Korea, and they were finding opportunities and a desire to help make disciples of those folks. And they've ended up moving in the last 10 years, late 50s, late 60s, serving the Lord in that setting. Why? Because they've been blessed, and they want to be a blessing. Don't fear what God might call you to do. He's a good God. And there will be grace for whatever he leads you to do. We've been blessed to be a blessing. We have received grace so the nations can be glad and sing for joy. I'm going to invite the worship team up. We're going to respond a little differently than we usually do. We are going to have the Lord's Supper. You can see that ready to go up here. But before we do that, we're actually going to sing a song. There's a wonderful old hymn that we sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be, Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." And I want to encourage you and ask you as we sing this song to just make it your prayer. Lord, everything that I have comes from you. Everything I have, I've received. What do I have that I haven't received? My hands, my heart, my wealth, my time, where I live, it's all yours. So, church, could we make this song a prayer of invitation, consecration, and dedication to the Lord, that the Lord would use us to make the nations glad, whatever that might look like? Could we do that? You up for that? All right, let's stand and sing. And then we'll have the Lord's Supper after that.
To seated. Haven't we been blessed? And as we receive the Lord's Supper, it's an opportunity to remember the blessing that we've received and the blessing that's coming. Revelation 7 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude no one could number, but your faces are in this multitude. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" That's the blessing we've received in Christ, and that's the blessing that's come to us. As we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper, I want to just point out, as exciting and sweet as that is, not every human being will be there. Some will gather around that throne, enjoying the wedding feast of the Lamb, and some will go to judgment and be separated from God's blessing and presence forever. And I ask you this morning, where will you be? The Lord's Supper that we're about to have is one of these moments of separation that prepares us for that moment. In this room, there are disciples of Jesus Christ, and there are those who are not followers of Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, if you're not a committed disciple of Jesus Christ, know first that we love you and are so glad that you're here. But this moment is a preview of a coming day of separation, and I want to urge you and encourage you. Please don't come and participate in this meal, because this is an evidence of having come into Christ and into his family. But please, I urge you, take this moment and consider what awaits on the last day. And take this time to turn with saving faith to Jesus Christ so that you can join in that great congregation around his throne on the last day. In a moment, as you come, please take the elements and receive them, but hang on to them and take them back to your seats, and we'll take them all together. So please come on up. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we drink it, we proclaim his death until he comes. And until he comes, we are blessed to be a blessing. So we're going to do a second, slightly different thing before we sing the last song. I want you to stand with me, please. We're going to read Psalm 67 out loud together. May this fire your hearts for the last song we sing. We'll start with the prescript. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
Let your kingdom come, let your will.
We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing. For those of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have a new song in our hearts. And it's a song that's to be heard, not just here, but around the world. And what a privilege it is that God has given us such a great charge and a great mission, that not only would we receive all the blessings that he has for us, but that he would entrust that message to us and that we would go forth and share it with others. What a blessing. For our guests, thank you so much for being with us here this morning. We're so glad that you would take time here on a Sunday just to spend time with us, singing praises and hearing from God's word. So thank you for being with us here today. We have a few people to pray for today. The Cray Crafts, this is their last Sunday with us here. They're on a military move. And so we're going to pray for them in the prayer room back here at the back of the auditorium. And as our members heard recently at the member meeting and through some communication this week, Edward is going to be going on a 2-month sabbatical for June and July. So we're going to pray for Edward and the family in the room back behind the stage here. And take some time to pray for them as they go off on this new adventure for the next couple of months. And for all of us, as we leave this place, as we're thinking about this idea of being blessed so that we can be a blessing and understanding that that means that we're to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, both here, but also to the ends of the earth. Let me read to us from 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Amen, and have a wonderful rest of the day.